awesome, beautiful. So, go
on. I don't think anybody heard what she said.
Oh, charities, doing charity work. Man, I'll tell you what. Like, I've gone to church for a long time. When I was 17, I decided, all right, I got thrown in jail. I was a really bad kid when I was young. But when I was 17, after I got thrown in jail, I said, hey, God, I'm going to give my life to you. And where was I going with that? Charities. So I've been to church meetings every single week. That was one of the promises I made. I'll go to church, God, every single week if you get me out of this thing. I mean, it was a federal offense. It was bad, right? And he did. And so I've gone to church every week.
Was for real a federal offense?
It was a for real deal. It was
now
bad.
Now everybody wants to know what you did.
It was bad. It was bad. Anyways, so I've been going to church for a long time, right? Every week. I have never felt closer to the members of my church. I've never felt a spiritual bond and connection with them until we went and did rescue work, mucking out homes for the three big hurricanes that came through.
Yeah, you went to Slidell the first time.
Slidell, we went out there. And also down in Galveston. And there was another hurricane we did it for. Mm-hmm. But, man, we worked so hard. We worked our butt. If you ever mucked a home where you got to pull out wet carpet and things like that, we worked our butts off. But we worked side by side. We were doing it together for one purpose, and it was hard work. And man, after a day like that, you just create a bond, you know, with people. If any of you have ever been in the military, I was 6 years in the military, you know, you're in boot camp, you're doing hard things, you create a bond with these people. So when you go out and do charity work for people, you kill many birds with one stone. And the biggest stone is you get to go and do something for somebody else without them, you know, no expectations of receiving anything in return. And that's one of the best things you can do in this world, right? Love that suggestion. Okay, well, now let me explain the other group. So I hope you guys get the idea. When you create this group, man, really nourish it. Don't let it die. Make it something special where people really want to get into it. Eventually, if you make it such a good group, you screen it. And you put the person's name out there and said, well, should we let this person in? And you let the members vote whether they can get into your exclusive group. Remember, community also is exclusivity.
It's true.
Part of community is exclusivity.
It's true.
They got to climb over some obstacles to get into that community. So when they become a part of it, they automatically feel like they're part of something special, right? Okay, so that group, the group that I just talked about, would be like my Facebook 10 strategy. It would be this close group knit of people. It would be the big group. The other group is where you create a strategic referral system. This is where, like, I don't know, what are some of the rules for B&I?
One person.
Okay, but what are some of the performance rules?
You got to give referrals.
You got to have a lead or a copy or lunch at every week.
All right, and if you don't? Because they created a culture of performance. So this other group is a smaller group where you guys actually have to do something on certain days and refer other people on Facebook. So one group is just, you know, we refer when times come up. The other one is like, okay, it's Tuesday the 29th. I have to refer somebody today. And you create a system for doing that.
Well, that's not, I'm just understanding, that's not a group, that's just 10 friends you
got. No, you create another group. You create a separate Facebook group.
So you refer them just those 10 people.
Yep, you're referring each other on Facebook at certain days in a certain way. You understand?
Santi's getting it. Look at that head bobbing back there.
There's